The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
In these winter months, consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
Welcome back from Amsterdam. Oh, we missed you so much. And when I say we, I mean I didn't miss you at all.
And I miss Amsterdam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the pictures and video from the coffee bars.
Okay, whatever.
On this show, we'll talk to maritime attorney Jim Walker.
Yeah, something crazy over the weekend. The feds tried to seize Carnival Triumph in Galveston. So he'll weigh in on that and tell us what exactly happened there and how it got resolved.
And then we'll get a consumer side of things from travel writer Chris Owen. But first, Stuart Shearer on The Cruise Guy is here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
Who, by the way, is fresh off the Disney Fantasy down in Port Canaveral. How was it?
It was like a fantasy and a dream come true.
Really?
The structure of fantasy was just like Disney Dream was, but there were some differences inside. I think probably the most noticeable was the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which, I mean, it was just packed with kids where little girls, little boys could go in and get, it was like an American Girl doll store, but for real kids. And the appointments were completely filled, and there were so many princes and princesses just strutting around the cruise ship wearing all kinds of different outfits and having taken some really amazing pictures that these little kids just couldn't get enough. And, you know, it really reminded me. I did the ship was amazing, guys. The food, the animator's palette, everything about these Disney Dream and Disney Fantasy were so greatly improved over Disney Magic and Disney Wonder, and they had much more room to go with. The pool decks are huge. I mean, the aqueduct was amazing. I finally did it. The kids had a blast. The kids program was fantastic. Adults restaurants, Palo and Remy, were just off the charts. Incredibly nice. A really nice experience for the adults to be able to go and enjoy adult food in an adult environment. But, I mean, the ship was just amazing. Castaway Key was terrific with the different enhancements that it made. If you're really into Disney, I mean, there's no better experience.
So, shifting gears, Azamara Club Cruises ship. Azamara Quest had a little issue on Friday off the Asian coast. What happened there?
Well, the ship, unfortunately, had a fire. It temporarily disabled the engine room. The fire was quickly put out. Five crew members were... suffered smoke inhalation, one a little more serious, and he was actually taken to a hospital when they reached port. But shortly thereafter, the ship did regain power, and then propulsion, the ship went to one of the islands, and the passengers were able to use the ship as a hotel for a couple of days or move into a hotel. And, of course, they got their money back, and the ship is now being repaired.
Did any passengers get hurt, and did they launch the lifeboats?
No. None of the ships, none of the passengers were injured, and it was just those five crew members, and all they suffered was smoke inhalation.
All right, Rhapsody of the Seas is out of dry dock and back in service after a $54 million refurbishment. What kind of new features can we see, and where's she going to be homeported?
Well, she's going to be homeported. She's going to be heading back over to Alaska, and then she'll be heading back to Australia, New Zealand, but the Royal Caribbean's got this huge, refurbishment project, which is actually taking a lot of the amenities and facilities and restaurants that are found on Oasis and Allure of the Seas, and they're moving it and they're adding it to many of their older ships. Rhapsody, which came out in 1997, is now also going to have the Royal Babies program, so they're taking it down from 2 years all the way down to they're going to be able to have programs for 6-month-olds. And they added a diamond lounge for their top-tier Crown and Anchor members. They also added a concierge lounge for their suites, their suite passengers, and their Diamond Plus guests. They added Wi-Fi around the ship, so you don't have to be hardwired. And, yes, Doug, you could certainly relate with me. We just wish these guys would offer better Wi-Fi service around these cruise ships.
Yeah, totally. Any new restaurants?
They added the famed Giovanni's Table, which is that Italian restaurant that was on Oasis and Allure, which is just fabulous. They have the Asian restaurant called Izumi. They added the Park Cafe, which is the indoor-outdoor restaurant, you know, for snacks and salads and sandwiches and stuff. Chops Grill. They also added one of my favorites, which was the Chef's Table. Mm. You know, it's usually for about 16 people in a very intimate dining experience, which it's usually like a five-course meal, which includes the wine pairing for about $95 per person. And then they've got, of course, the entertainment that we've seen on Splendor that'll be in the Centrum. So, I mean, there's all kinds of really neat things that are going to be adding to this when, you know, she now debuts. So that's going to be a great ship.
Let me ask you this. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Carolyn Spencer-Brown from Cruise Critic about specialty dining. You said it was like $95 for the chef's table visit. Is that worth it, in your opinion?
Well, I will tell you that because they added the wine pairing, you know, it used to be $75. Then they added it up to $95. It's not unreasonable, Doug, because it's only for 16 people. It's in a very intimate, you know, space. The service is, you know, almost one to one, and you know, they're just it's a very different experience. Now, you know, going a little farther, you know, into, you know, with some of these other specialty restaurants where it's like $40 per person, Doug. And I say, you know, you can't really call those nominal charges anymore. And when you're dealing with, you know, two people, it's another $80. Family of four, it's $160.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of over the top. I mean, there's really no experience. And that does not include the wine. And it's not nominal anymore. And it's just, you know, it's nice to be able to offer these additional experiences. I'm all for it. But it is, and they are incredibly popular. But, you know, $40 on any of these ships, these specialty restaurants, is kind of, you know, going a little over the top.
He doesn't have a degree, but he is a licensed cruisologist. Stuart, you're on the Cruise Guy. Thank you, precious.
Hey, it is a pleasure, guys.
This is Cruise Radio. For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com. Each week we give you Porthole Cruise Magazine's Pick of the Week. No doubt this month has thoughts of the Titanic in the minds of many travelers as April 15th marks the 100-year anniversary of the fateful event. From theme cruises to global museum exhibits, the world will surely be remembering in various ways this month.
Of course, Southampton, where Titanic sailed from, welcomes a brand new Sea City Museum this year, which looks at the world's fascination with the Titanic story. And Stoke-on-Trent's Potteries Museum and Art Gallery, which will host guided tours through its Titanic exhibitions and presentations, as well as commemorative concerts.
For more, go to visitengland.com. From CruiseLawNews.com, Maritime Attorney Jim Walker is with us. Welcome back to Cruise Radio, Jim. So fill us in on what happened over the weekend in Galveston, Texas. Let me see if I have this right. A U.S. judge had a Carnival Cruise Lines ship seized over the weekend because of a $10 million lawsuit involving Costa Concordia, which happened in Italy. What? How is that even possible?
Well, it's a good question. I compare it to kind of Operation Repo on the high seas. What this entails is what's called a maritime writ of attachment, which is just fancy legal mumbo-jumbo for an arrest warrant for a ship. It's like repossessing a car. Here you've got a cruise ship. It's typically done when a operator owner of a cruise ship owes a debt to a third party, and they try to collect upon that obligation by seizing a cruise ship. In this case, you have a Mississippi attorney who hires a Texas law firm to file this writ of attachment in order to arrest the Carnival Triumph. Now, that type of procedure is appropriate and legal in some circumstances, but here it was really done to try to make a point, I believe, with the cruise line and to try to find some creative way to file a lawsuit against Carnival arising out of something that happened literally in a different country.
Well, why Galveston out of all places?
Well, my belief is that he did this for strategic purposes. Galveston is considered by attorneys that do the kind of work I do to be a pretty friendly place to represent passengers or to represent a family. Whereas Miami, being kind of the home court for Carnival, some of the federal judges are very conservative and are very, what I believe to be, a bit oriented towards corporations. So it was a good place to file a lawsuit. And then secondly, he wanted to take away Carnival's home court advantage. They're based here. Most of their lawyers are here. And by taking them out of their home turf, I think he thought he had a better chance of keeping the case alive.
So basically this wouldn't fly in Miami then?
No, it can't. You can't file suit and arrest a vessel in a state where the defendant resides or where they have an agent. Now,
okay.
Obviously they have lots of cruise ships here. They don't have a home office in Texas, and they don't have an agent there, so that's why they went over there to file suit.
Is this a case of abuse of power or a publicity stunt on the court side?
Well, the judge had to accept as true what was alleged in the attorney's moving papers. So if you go to a federal court judge, I could do this in New Orleans or Seattle or any port, and say, this cruise line is not based here in Louisiana or in Texas. They don't have an agent here. And I'm doing this because that defendant cruise line has an obligation to my client. The judge is going to accept that as true, but very quickly, he or she's going to schedule a hearing and give notice to the cruise line and put the burden on the attorney who obtained that arrest warrant to prove why, in fact, the vessel should be seized. Now, here, remember, they filed suit like on a Thursday or Friday, and the judge scheduled a hearing on Saturday, and very quickly this was resolved between the parties amicably out of court.
Well, and how did it get resolved, by the way?
Well, it was resolved on a confidential basis, which is a bit strange to me because the attorney who filed the writ of attachment has been quoted in newspapers saying he couldn't get Carnival's attention, and he wanted to take a shot across their bow to get their attention in order to try to discuss with them improvements to their operations. Now, arresting a vessel to try to make a point is a pretty dangerous thing to do because the cruise lines have the ability, in cases of wrongful seizure or wrongful arrest, to go back against the attorney and seek their attorney fees and costs, and really to punish the attorney for wrongfully seizing a ship. In this case, I don't believe a bond was ever posted.
Okay.
I think probably what happened is the attorney said, I've taken this as far as I can go. And Carnival probably went to them and said, if you ever do this again, we're going to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've seen the end of trying to arrest vessels in circumstances like this. And remember, this was a German family that
right.
hired an attorney in Mississippi for the purposes of trying to find a place to file a lawsuit. And he chose Texas, I believe, for strategic purposes.
And, like, cruise tourism is huge in Galveston. Will this have any effects long-term, you think, with the cruise industry there or no?
No, I don't think so. You know, at the end of the day, I think that the Triumph was delayed about 45 minutes. No one lost any money. There was a bit of apprehension of the passengers. But I don't see any attorney ever again filing any type of writ of garnishment or attachment against a cruise ship.
Maritime attorney Jim Walker, as always, thanks for the info.
Okay, thank you, Matt, and thank you, Doug.
Let's get the consumer side of things. Travel writer Chris Owen is with us once again. Always a pleasure having you, Chris.
Always glad to be here.
Do you think this thing in Galveston will have any long-term effects on cruises?
No, probably not. But what concerns me is more the effect on travel in general. This thing just kind of came out of nowhere. It disrupted the plans of people that were getting ready to go to the ship. There was really not a reason for it. And that's the kind of thing that the travel industry, which is recovering from a recession, doesn't need to have happen at this time.
And that's the thing. It just didn't affect Carnival, but it also affected the close to 3,000 people traveling on that ship that Saturday, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the people getting off the ship and the people getting off the ship and people getting on the ship, it's about twice that many, really, if you think about it, that could have had their travel plans disrupted for a totally unrelated reason. If this was a shot across the bow, like they said it was, to get the attention of Carnival Cruise Line, it's like they didn't know what they were talking about. Costa Cruises, Carnival Cruise Line. Both members of Carnival Corporation, but totally unrelated. It's like saying that I got sick at Red Lobster, so I'm going to sue the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
They're
right.
Both owned by the same corporation,
right.
But they're totally unrelated. You wouldn't even think of it. I thought it was a April Fool's joke to begin with. Early in the morning when I first started, I thought somebody was playing a joke.
That's right, April 1st, sure. Now, what have you been hearing from cruise passengers and travel agents about all this?
Well, as we talked about earlier, it sounded like a bit of a joke to begin with, but people got real serious real fast about this as the news came out and started to solidify. Travel agents tell me they had calls from people not only on that ship, but people that just sailing out of Galveston in general, and not just that day, but weeks from now, months from now. What do I need to worry about this? They're going to cancel my cruise? They're going to reschedule my cruise? Something going to happen? You know, people don't want to hear that sort of stuff. They want to concentrate on packing, getting the port on time, making sure they've got their booze smuggled correctly. That's all those sort of things. They don't want to know. They don't want to hear about that the ship's not going to sail because of some unrelated problem.
Travel writer Chris Owen, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again.
Always a pleasure.
All right, that's going to do it. Hey, we have an app out now. Just go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. It's got everything you need there. You can listen to the show, get all the cruise news, and it's at the convenience of your fingertips with your iPhone or other smartphone. So now that is the best way to listen to Cruise Radio. From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.